Okay, we'll start from the beginning. Genesis chapter 36, verse 1.
Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Adah, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite, and Bashemeth, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth. And Adah bare to Esau Eliphaz, and Bashemeth bare Reuel. And Aholibamah bare Jeush, and Jalam, and Korah. These are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan.
Now here we see Esau married three ladies. Two from Canaanites, their names are given here, and the third one from Ishmael's daughter, actually. And her brother's name is also given. Now, out of these three wives, he got total five children. And they were all born in Canaan. Now, at that particular time, if you see, Jacob had already 12 sons and one daughter. They were already all 13 children. And now Jacob comes to meet his father. We studied last week. And when he came, Isaac dies. And Esau and Jacob buried their father. And then this chapter starts. Esau was angry with his brother, and he was jealous. But when he saw God really blessed him, and Jacob gave lots of gift to Esau, so his anger was calmed down or ceased, and he was happy. So without fighting, they were united. They didn't have any fight after the father's death also. Jacob didn't say, this land is not good enough for both of us, so why don't you get out of here? I was 20 years out of this area, now you go. He didn't say anything. He decided to leave the land. Let's read the verse 6.
And Esau took his wives, and his sons, and his daughters, and all the persons of his house, and his cattle, and all his beasts, and all his substance which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob.
Now he says he went away from the face of Jacob. And so he took all his wives and these five children, and he went to Mount Seir, and then he dwells there. So now we see when Abraham had only Ishmael and another son, Isaac. Now, he had only two sons. When his wife died, when Abraham's wife Sarah died, Abraham marries another lady. Why I'm saying this? Because I want to tell you how all these children were born to Esau or Abraham. Those people sent away, just like Esau is going away. Just go to the Genesis chapter 25 and just read verse 1 to 6.
Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimram and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. And Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Letushim and Leumim. And the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Epher, and Hanok, and Abida, and Eldah, all these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country.
Now all of these children, these Abraham's children, and they sent away to eastward. So he didn't want any fight with Isaac. And now when we see Ishmael also had so many children. Let's read the Genesis chapter 25, verse 12 to 18.
Now these are the generations of Ishmael. Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names, according to their generations: the firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Adbaal, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Massa, Hadar, and Tema, Jetor, Naphish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria, and he died in the presence of all his brethren.
Now see, all of this Ishmael's children, they lived near Egypt. Some of them went to east, now some of them went to Egypt. That means God did not want Jacob or Isaac having any problem with these all heathen. All these people, even that they born from Abraham, they born from Ishmael, they were all called heathen. God already blessed them. Each and every person was fruitful and blessed. God gives son to heathen and the believers. He gives the rain to heathen people as well as the believers. God is a good God. And God has the plan for each and everyone to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, when we're reading about the Esau's family tree, we will say so many children were born out of these 5 sons we read in Canaan. And now they are leaving Canaan and they are going to a different place called Mount Seir. Let's go back to the Genesis chapter 36, start reading from verse 7.
For their riches were more than that they might dwell together, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, the son of Adah, the wife of Esau; Reuel, the son of Bashemeth, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, and Gatam, and Kenaz. And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. These were the sons of Adah, Esau's wife.
Now, when we read all of these names, the first two wives were Canaanites. Out of 2 Canaanites' wives, one got 1 son and the other one got 3 sons. But Ishmael's daughter got only 1 son. And then there is a first son, his name is Eliphaz. And Eliphaz had 1 concubine. In these other brothers, nobody had any concubine, but this Eliphaz has the concubine. He was the first son. And all of these children, they are growing. And out of that, the first son came, Eliphaz, and Eliphaz has so many children. Let's read the verse 13.
And these are the sons of Reuel, Nahath and Zerah, Shammah and Mizah. These were the sons of Bashemath, Esau's wife. And these were the sons of Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon, Esau's wife. And she bare to Esau Jeush, and Jalam, and Korah. These were dukes of the sons of Esau, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn son of Esau, Duke Teman, Duke Omar, Duke Zepho, Duke Kenaz, Duke Korah, Duke Gatam, and Duke Amalek. These are the dukes that came of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. These were the sons of Adah. And these are the sons of Reuel, Esau's son, Duke Nahath, Duke Zerah, Duke Shammah, Duke Mizah. These are the dukes that came of Reuel in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Bashemath, Esau's wife. And these are the sons of Aholibamah, Esau's wife, Duke Jeush, Duke Jalam, Duke Korah. These were the dukes that came of Aholibamah, the daughter of Anah, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Esau, who is Edom, and these are their dukes. These are the sons of Seir the Horite, who inhabited the land, Lotan, and Shobal, and Zibeon, and Ana, and Dishan, and Ezer, and Dishan. These are the dukes of the Horites, the children of Seir in the land of Edom. And the children of Lotan were Horai and Hemam, and Lotan's sister was Timnah. And the children of Shobal were these, Alvan and Manahath and Ebal, Shepho and Onam. And these are the children of Zibeon, both Aja and Ana. This was that Ana that found the mules in the wilderness, as he fed the asses of Zibeon his father.
Okay, now, all of these names we are reading, and then there is a one man's name is Ana. He was taking care of his animals, and he first found mule. And I was thinking before that some people might have made mixture of donkey and horse, and that's the way the mule came. That's what I was thinking. But here we see this mule, this man found it the first. And that means there was a mixture, nobody did it, and those animals were there. So this is what I was just pointing out. Okay, go ahead. Verse 25.
And the children of Ana were these, Dishan and Oholibama, the daughter of Ana. And these are the children of Dishan, Hemdan, and Eshban, and Ithran, and Cheran. The children of Ezer are these, Bilhan, and Zavan, and Akan. The children of Dishan are these, Uz, and Aran.
Okay, now here we see, there's two children are given, his name is, one is Uz, and one is Aram. Now, these are the people, and they are almost the time of Job. Many people do not know whether Job was, how many years he was there, and what time he lived, and things like that. But when I was reading this, Uz is the one son's name, and that son had maybe a town, big town. Go to the Job chapter 1, verse 1, and see, this is the place Job lived.
There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil.
Now see, Uz, or Uz, is the town where the Job was. So we don't know the Job was a Jewish man, or Job came from these Edomites, this means Muslims, we don't know. And he won the doing sacrifice. We do not know he was doing according to the Jewish law, or he was just doing, he saw Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and his children giving the sacrifice. So whatever it is, but I just wanted to point out, this is the old time. The Uz built up his town. And in that town, Job was living. Okay, let's go further. Verse 29.
These are the dukes that came of the Horites, Duke Lotan, Duke Shobal, Duke Zibeon, Duke Ana, Duke Dishan, Duke Ezer, Duke Dishan. These are the dukes that came of Horai, among their dukes in the land of Seir. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom, before there reigned any king over the children of Israel.
Now here we see, verse 31, all these dukes, or all these chiefs, they were born in the Esau's family. And the Esau, we read in several times, Esau the Edomite, or Esau the Edom. Now, many people do not know what the Edom is. Esau's family, all these Muslim came, and those Muslim Edoms are Arabian people. And so we see all these Arabian or Muslim people, they had the kings from this chapter we read, because Israeli people did not have any king at that particular time, but these Muslim people, they had kings. Where did they learn? Because we see before Abraham, before even the Isaac was born, before the Ishmael was born, they were kings. If you remember, let's go and check those kings. Abraham's times, go to the Genesis chapter 12, verse 15. There was a king called Pharaoh.
The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house.
Okay, now Genesis chapter 14, verse 8 and 9, there we see four, five, or almost nine kings. We don't have time, but just read Genesis 14, 8 and 9.
And there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the vale of Siddim.
Okay, now all these kings were before Ishmael or before Abraham, and these kings were already there. And there is another king I want to mention in the time of Abraham, who took his Abraham's wife. Genesis chapter 20, verse 2.
And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah.
Okay, now we see all these kings were before Ishmael's children or before Esau's children. And so they took the daughters from heathen. So now they learn, if the heathen people has the kings, we should have a kings. And you will see all these Muslim kings were having fight with the heathens, and there were so many wars and so many problems before even Jewish king came. Here the word of God says Jewish people or Israeli people did not have any king. Do you know where the Israeli people's first king came? We will be reading first their kings, and then we'll talk about the Israeli king. But here we see almost at least eight different kings came for Esau's family, actually. Esau's family, let's read them. Start going to Genesis chapter 36, verse 32.
And Bela the son of Beor reigned in Edom, and the name of his city was Dinhabah. And Bela died, and Jobab, the son of Zerah of Bozrah, reigned in his stead. And Jobab died, and Husham of the land of Temani reigned in his stead. And Husham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who smote Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his stead. And the name of his city was Avith. And Hadad died, and Samla of Masrekah reigned in his stead. And Samla died, and Saul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his stead. And Saul died, and Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his stead.
Can you imagine you heard one name, Saul? Saul was the first king of Israel. But this Saul is in the Esau's family, in Maslin's family, they were the king Saul. So I was thinking, most of the people, when you name your children, you name the children on the famous people or famous boxer or some favorite person, and then you name those people in your family. And now in America, if you see, the names of the people, they're all Irish name and a Jewish name and Russian names and Italian names and all kinds of names. Even the American people are giving Hindu names, not even knowing. And so I saw Saul was the first king of Israel, but this Saul was before in this Muslim people's generation. And there was another person's name was given, they had the fight with the Midianites. Now, Midianites and Moabites, if you know who those people are, those people are the Lot's family. And so these people have fighting with the Lot's family and anybody surrounding area. And these people are just like cruel people. And so we see the kings, we didn't finish yet. Let's finish that.
And Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, died, and Hadar reigned in his stead. And the name of his city was Pau, and his wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezahab. And these are the names of the dukes that came of Esau, according to their families, after their places, by their names. Duke Timnah, Duke Alva, Duke Jetheth, Duke Aholibamah, Duke Elah, Duke Pinon, Duke Kenaz, Duke Teman, Duke Mibzar, Duke Magdiel, Duke Iram. These be the dukes of Edom, according to their habitations, in the land of their possession. He is Esau, the father of the Edomites.
Now, all these kings and all these people were born, rest of the people, five sons he had in Canaan, and all other people were born in Mount Seir. So you can see how much he was flourished, and even in his family, all these kings start coming, and they were growing. Today also, if you see, the Muslim people are more than Israeli people. But one thing I would like to tell you, Ishmael worshiped Jehovah God. Midianites people, even though they're large, coming from Lot's family, they worship Jehovah God. You know, some Moses' wife came from Midianites. And so point I'm making, all these people were worshiping Jehovah God. Esau's family people, even though they did not stay with Jacob, did not stay with his relatives, but they didn't have any other God. They worship Jehovah God. But today we see Muslim people, they have different tribes. They have Sunni tribes, they have Shia tribes, and they have some other tribes. So some people will say, how they came like this? Because we know here Ishmaelites, then we saw Esau's people, and then you saw Esau's family, there were other people who were born. And we saw Midianites and Moabites from Lot. So all of these people favored Muslims. Most of the people became Muslims. So the Muslim people, they have from the beginning subdued other people and bring them under their control. That's why the kings are all about. First, kings were heathen kings, but now they were almost eight kings, and each and every king, they have kingdoms, they have places, they have built the cities, and they were ruling, and many other people coming under them. And so these other people were ruling, and the Israeli kings were not there. And we will be studying now, the next chapter goes like a 37, there we start studying about Joseph. And Joseph's story will be going up to the chapter 50. But when we see Israeli people go in the bondage in Egypt, and when they came out of Egypt, still they didn't have the king. They have all the priests and prophets, and they were ruling until the Samuel. And that's the time, in the time of Samuel, people start saying, your sons are not good. They are not doing the right thing, and all other people have the king. Why don't you give us a king? He said, God, these people are asking the king. So they do not want me ruling them. God says, no, they are not against you. They are against me. They don't like me, their king or their God. That's why they want a king. So give them a king, but give them a warning. And he gave them a warning. He said, you know what? If there is a king, he will take your children in the military. He will take your land. You have to pay the taxes to your government. And he will rule over you. And you will be like a slave to him. They said, okay, that's okay with us. We'll give our children. We give taxes and everything. But we want king. And that's why the first king came, King Saul. Point I'm making, the people who wanted a king to rule over them, and they wanted to be like other heathen people. Today also, the Christian people, they take all the fashions and all the other people, what they do. Why can't you name some Christian name? Point I'm making, the Christian people want worldly appearance. I went to a birthday party, and here one little boy, 4 or 5 years old, dancing. Dancing like a Michael Jackson. And everybody said, look at this, future Michael Jackson. Hey. And they were so happy. So I said to this man, tell these people to stop this because I came here for a birthday party for prayer. He said, oh, I cannot tell these people not to. So I said, okay, then I'm going. I did not pray. I left. Now, if you invite me to pray for your family and I don't pray and go, you will feel bad. But it was not my fault. I said, I'm here to pray. But if you don't want prayer and if you want to dance, be dancing. And I left. And I gave warning to mom and dad, allowing that child to dance. I said, the time will come. Your son will not be dancing like this. You better tell this child God's things. But they didn't listen. When the boy was 7 years old, became paralyzed. He got meningitis. And in children's hospital, West Down, he's paralyzed. He could not walk. That's the time the parents called me. It's a long story. I went there, gave 2 hours of Bible study, prayed for that boy, and I said, he's going to walk, and nobody will ever see that this boy was having any problem. And that boy was completely healed. And other day, I saw the mother and the boy in this Russian store, and she said, look at this. Pastor Peter, you prayed for this boy. And look at him, how he's healthy. Now, he was that time maybe 25 or 22 years old. I said, God did a miracle, but you never brought your son to church to testify. The point I'm making, the Christian people wants to blend with the worldly people. Even though God gives miracles, God does signs and wonders and miracles for you, you forget. Because you want to enjoy the world. The worldly fashion, the worldly clothes, the worldly desires, everything what the world does, we want to do it. Here the word, we see separation from the children of God. Abraham separated his children and say, you don't stay with Isaac. Jacob was blessed. God says to Esau and his family, go away somewhere. We do not want problem with my children, Jacob. So the point I'm making, God always wants us to be separated. Separated from the world. That's what the God's calling is upon us. When we are born again, children of God, let the whole world know what is the difference between you and the world. When you say, I'm born again, what does it mean? You were born in sin. You were born and doing sinful activities. When we call upon Jesus Christ and say, Lord, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, something happens. The Word of God says, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not the old person. We are new. Who is the old person? Old person is old Adam. We died to old Adam, and now we live for Christ. There are born again people, but they don't want to be baptized. Why? They want to go tradition, or they don't want to make themselves wet. One lady came and she said, I want to be baptized, but I'm worried about my hairdo. I just spend money doing my hair. And if I go in the water, don't you think my hair is going to mess up? I said, ma'am, are you worried about your hair or are you worried about your life? You have to die for sin and you have to live for Christ. And if you're really worried about your hair, I will pay for it. I will give the money for your hairdo, but you have to be born again. You give your heart to Jesus Christ and then we'll baptize you. Thank God she said, I don't care about my hair, baptize me. And I baptize her. The point I'm making, we have to make a new commitment. You cannot live the old life. Let the whole world know that I was a sinner. I was smoking, I was drinking, I was gambling, I was doing all kinds of sinful activity. When I heard that Jesus Christ came and died for me, and he gave the last drop of his blood. So if I recognize the blood of Jesus Christ, then what should I do? I should say, Lord Jesus, you shed your blood for me. What can I do for you? I ask people, do you love Jesus? Yes. Raise your hand. Two hands. Yes, I love Jesus. Do you love smoking? And if you love smoking more than Jesus, raise your hand. No hands. Why? Because they love smoking more than Jesus. If they love smoking more than Jesus, then I tell them to give up smoking. No. You want Jesus or you are smoking? I'll take smoking. Read the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. He says, come out of them and do not touch unclean thing. Then you will be my sons and daughters, says God Almighty. What God wants? Separation. Separation from sin. Separation from the heathens. Separation from unsaved people. That's what God wants. And that is the testimony to the world. I was born in a Christian family. That did not make me Christian. My father was a missionary, a school teacher. I studied from my childhood with my father. When I was 2 years old, my father will take me as a babysitting. My babysitting was sitting with the children when he's teaching. And so I go to the kindergarten. My father goes to the first grade children. I go with my father and sit with the first grade. Then my father go to the second grade children and I sit with the second grade. Same day, because my father was teaching 7 grades in a one school. And so I go from one first, second, third, fourth grade. And when I became 4 years old, they didn't know where to keep me. First grade or second grade or third grade, because I knew already fourth grade teaching. The point I'm making, I was learning. I learned about Christianity. I was a Christian, I'm thinking, but I was not born again. But when Jesus Christ sent the messenger to my house and he gave the message, I said, you know what? It's not for me. Tell these Hindus and Muslims and other people. He said, no, God sent me for you. I said, for me, for what? I'm a Christian. I don't do any sin. I live a good life. And every night when I go to bed, I say, Lord, forgive all my sins. And tomorrow, I do all the things all the time. So I'm going in circle. But I was proud that I'm a Christian. I thought the Hindu people worshiping these idols, they are not good. Muslim people, they They do all kinds of evil things. They are not good. The Christian people are good. And God forgives their sins. But this man came to me. He said, you know what you're doing? You're going in circle and circle. He said, read book of Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. And I read it. Please read.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
This is the first time I heard. If you are a Christian, and if you cover in your sin, you confess, I'm sinner, I did wrong, and am I guilty, but you are not forsaking. You have to forsake the old habit. If you are smoking, you have to die for smoking. If you're drinking, you have to die for drinking. And you live for Christ. Even though this man gave me the scripture, I didn't pay attention. I said, you know what? I just pray every day and God hears my prayer. And I was a deacon in the church. And I was singing. I'm making songs. I'm going and praying for people. And I started writing the song when I was 8 years old. An all Christian song I wrote, not any other song. And so I was thinking myself, I'm all right, I'm a good person. One day I'm walking on the street, I was fasting for 40 days every year, and this was my routine, so I was thinking I'm a good person. And so I was reading about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and walking on the street. And I heard the voice from heaven, you are crucifying me. And I thought, somebody's talking. So I looked back, everybody minding their business. And so they are not talking to me. So I kept on walking. Then again I heard, you crucifying me. That time I knew this has to be God. So I looked up. I said, how can I crucify you? I was not there 2,000 years ago. He said, but I send a man to tell you about Christianity, but you are not listening. That means if you don't listen to the word of God, you are crucifying me again. And that came to my mind. I said, Lord, please forgive me. And I was addicted to movies and I was doing so many wrong things at that time, but I just held on to the pole, electrical pole, and cried like a baby. And all the sins start coming in front of me. And I said, Lord, please forgive all my sins. And once it's done, all the burden rolled away. And I felt so good in my spirit. The point I'm making, my life was transformed. Everybody can see. When I come home, my mother saw the change. Before that, my mom took her sari, when you're taking the sari and putting on the floor and saying, please listen to me. That is very great thing in India. My mother started crying, son, you come home 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Somebody will kill you. You're in Bombay City. Don't do this. I was not listening. But when God changed my heart, stop movies, stop foul language, stop everything. I was not using foul language, but I'm just saying, everything changed. And my life changed, and my mother could see it. Before that, I was, when I come home and the food is not on time, I will be banging here, banging there, or in the food, if I see dust or something, throw the food away. And these are the things I was doing. But when I got saved, my mother will say, son, this food is not properly cooked. No, my, no problem. Oh, it's not hot enough. No problem, mommy, it's okay. And I start helping my mom and things like that. The point I'm making, somebody saw the change in my life. That is the call born again experience. Once I got saved, I start searching the water baptism. And the water baptism came and I said, Lord, the immersion baptism is the right thing. But I already took the baptism and the word of God says baptism is one. And so I'm not going to take, but I am going to baptize my children when they are born again. You know what God told me? You has to be an example. You be baptized first. And then I called my pastor and said, sir, baptize me today. He said, no, we were baptized once a month. We don't have time. I said, sir, I need baptism today. He has to take a taxi, and we went, and I got baptized. What I'm trying to say, when I got changed, I wanted to change, and my brother took the baptism with me. But he said, I want to show the change to the world. He shaved his head, he shaved everything, and shaved his hair. He is a little bit hairy than me. I don't have hair. I'm a Jacob. He's an Esau like. So he shaved everything from the top to bottom. I said, sir, you don't have to. The heart has to change, not your clothes and not your hair. But anyhow, God saved me. I filled with the Holy Spirit. I start serving the Lord. Still my brother was working. I said, sir, you shaved your hair and everything and you want to be changed. You should be serving the Lord. He said, but you know, I have to give the tuition to my children. It's so expensive, so I sit with them and teach. I said, I'll pay for it. I'll pray for your children's education. You dedicate your life to the Lord. I ordain him, and now he's a minister serving the Lord. The point I'm making, a Christian life is the life of change. Here we see these people. They want pride, they want kingdom, they want kings, and they want this, and they want that. But the God has a plan for you and for me. Jesus Christ said, if you follow me, if you give up everything for me, I will make you kings and priests. You will be ruling with me. And many people left everything and followed Christ. But in John chapter 6, if you read, when Jesus Christ starts saying, you have to drink my blood and you have to eat my flesh. And some people say, oh, it's so hard. I don't want to hear this. And they left. And the word of God said they never walked with him again. So there are some Christians people. They walk, they take a baptism, they go to church for 6 months or year, and some trouble time comes, they walk away from Christ. And that's what the devil wants. Devil wants you to trap you back again and destroy you. But the word of God said, Jesus Christ said, if you put your hand to the plow, you do not look back. So when you are called by God, what are you going to do? You're going to follow Christ. All kinds of trials and tribulations will come. 70 disciples walked away. 12 disciples stayed with him. Jesus said, would you like to go? Peter says, where should I go? The words of life with you. I want eternal life. I want to follow you. The devil tried to destroy Peter. Jesus warned him. He said, Peter, I saw you, devil shifting you like a wheat. But I prayed for you that you should not be destroyed. And he gave him warning. But he says, even though everybody run away, I will not run away. I will give my life. What was that? Pride. Arrogant. I have willpower. Your willpower doesn't work. Somebody said, oh, I can give cigarette anytime and I can take it back anytime. I can give up drinking anytime and I can take it anytime. I have the willpower. No, you don't. You are slave to the things. Now, if you say to the people who were slave, if you use that word, they don't like, we are not slave. We don't want to be slave. Then I said, okay, are you smoking? Yes. You are slave to your smoking. Do you drink? Yes. You are slave to the drinking. You don't want to be slave, but you are automatically slave. A slave. So what you have to do, Jesus Christ says, ye shall know the truth, and what? Truth shall set you free. Then who is the truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. Once you have Jesus in, he sets you free. then don't go back again the yoke of bondage. Please read the Galatians chapter 5, verse 1.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
See what he says? Stand fast, because you are set free. You have to say, thank you, Jesus. I was slave to sin. I was smoking. I was drinking. I was sick. I was afflicted. I was poor. I had so many problems. You set me free. And I am going to stay in the liberty. Nobody is going to bind me again. Do you know, I was with the one Christian group, and their big pastor came, and he came to know that I do not drink coffee and tea. And so he felt like, you know, oh, Pastor Peter is over me or what? He said, I'm going to make you drink coffee. I said, sir, I give up. I don't need it. But I'm going to make you drink. So I said, what are you going to do? He said, this is the command. Drink this. And so I said, sir, I gave up. But just I took one sip and my face became red. He got so scared. Oh, please don't touch. Don't drink. I will never tell you to do. I said, sir, I gave up. Don't force me to sin again. The point I'm making, you can keep 10,000 cigarettes around me, I will be not tempted. You give all kinds of liquor bottles around me, expensive, I will be not tempted. Why? Because I am dead to sin and I'm living for Christ. How many people can say this? I'm dead to sin, I live for Christ. If not, you are still in your sin. So what you have to do? Call upon Jesus, bring it to his in your life, and then your life will be transformed. You have to believe Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Go to the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. You have to believe that he died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried and he was risen Christ. That's the Christian faith. Please read.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
See, you have to believe Jesus Christ in your heart, and then you have to proclaim. You have to testify. I believe Jesus Christ. He died for me. He rose again. He rose again. He's a living God. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my healer. He's my everything. Tell the world. Now, if you have a cigarette in my hand, well, you know what? God did so many miracles for me. I want to tell you. What do you call? You are a slave to cigarette. You are not free man. You are trying to tell me about God. Get rid of that thing first and then come to me. Then what you say? Oh, no, don't worry. God loves cigarette too. And there is one man says, oh, God smokes. Because God's nostril, there is a smoke came. That time there was no cigarette. What was that? The anger of God. But he said, we have to know that what is good and what is evil. If we are belong to Jesus, we will hate the sin. And we love the Lord. Sin doesn't fit with the believers. We are redeemed. We are set free. We are believers. We are followers of Christ. People are craving to be kings and priests. And if you ask your children, what do you want to be? I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be this and I want to be engineer and all the astronauts and all these things they like. Nothing wrong with it. If you are a believer, you can do all of those things and you can still lift Christ. But I have news for you. There is no highest job than the pastor or bishop. Why? Because all the kings, they have to go to church and they have to get the blessings from the man of God. So the greatest job is what? Serving the Lord. He says, I will make you priests and I will make you kings. And the time is coming. Jesus Christ is coming back to establish his kingdom on this earth. For how many days? 1,000 years. And you will be the priest and kings in his kingdom. And not only that, when the 1,000 years period finishes, the headquarter changes from Jerusalem to heavenly Jerusalem. And then we will be with him for eternity, ruling like a kings and priests. Shall we rise? So we have a great calling. Don't get mixed up with the world. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you have called us with a definite high calling. And you separate us from the world. We have seen how Abraham separated his people from Isaac. We see how all the Esau's family was separated from Jacob. And so you want us to live a separated life. We don't want to mix with the heathen. We don't want to take the form of ungodly people. Give us grace to live holy and clean life. Give us that vision to follow Christ. And one day we will be kings and priests for Christ. Give us that grace. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.